This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. It's TV Week on Fresh Air, featuring interviews about classic and current TV shows. Today, it's late night TV. Early in Dick Cavett's career, he wrote jokes for two Tonight Show hosts, Jack Parr and Johnny Carson. Cavett went on to host his own late night show on ABC, opposite The Tonight Show. It ran from the late 60s to the mid-70s. I spoke with Dick Cavett in 1985.
You got your start in late-night television writing jokes for the monologues for Jack Parr.
That's right.
And then for Johnny Carson. Did you have to come up with really different styles of jokes for each of them?
Yeah, they're very different. Although, they're not as different as, say, well, there are more contrasting styles. You could give many of the same jokes to Carson that you would Parr and vice versa. But I could read what I wrote for the two of them and know which one I wrote it for, even though I've forgotten the jokes, because their wording is slightly different, their tone is different. There are things Jax would say that Johnny would never, and vice versa. Their quirks and things. And one thing I'm really good at, to make up for the many things I'm not, is that I can imitate people's voices at the typewriter. By voice, I mean in the writer sense of their entire, as the voice of Faulkner or whatever. But also, exactly how they'd word it is what's needed to be a gag writer for a specific comic. Otherwise, you need a rewrite man, because the guy sees the joke, but he says it doesn't fit me somehow, but he doesn't know how. Why?
Well, it's a regular part of Carson's monologue to insult the writer, say, oh, that one didn't work, I'll have to fire those writers.
Well, that's an old gambit of, I mean, the writers know that. Then some of them do get fired.
Did he take you aside? What kind of feedback would he give when you were writing for him?
Almost never. Jack would take more personal interest in the selection of the subject for the monologue, sweat it more, worry about it more. I mean, he sweated off enough energy worrying about his monologue as much as for all the rest of the show. Whereas Johnny's a little cooler about it. But one day, when I handed in a rotten 2 pages, the next day he said, I think you can do a little better. And that was the only time he ever admonished me, and I was so moved by it. I really wanted to do better for him because I like him so much. And I remember thinking, oh, my teacher has scolded me.
When you started your ABC show, your producer called you in after, I think, the first taping and told you, nobody cares what Gore Vidal or Muhammad Ali has to say about the Vietnam War. The show's boring. We can't run it. Angela Lansbury was dull. And you had a big fight.
Yeah, that was not my producer, because he was on my side.
Oh, it was an executive.
Woody Fraser was an executive who just came and said, this is not the show we wanted, this is not the show we bought, this is deadly, horrible, nobody wants to hear about the Vietnam War and all that junk.
Well, I think what people really loved about your show was that it was different from what was on TV.
Well, that was also a classic case of we went upstairs and looked at the tape, just all of us depressed, we had failed, my network career had lasted one night, was going to be over before it began. I didn't care then. I was sick of them. I stomped out of their meeting and beat and exhausted, and my face drawn up and looked like a sculptor of Katharine Hepburn. And I had cheekbones showing that didn't usually. I was so tense. And then we all said, well, why don't we look at it? And so Fraser and I looked at it on the monitor. And as we watched, we thought, this isn't bad at all. Lansbury's bright, Charmy's getting laughs, it's fine. Ali was in, Vidal was fascinating. But a nervous Nelly at the network had decided that it was not what they wanted. So they had me tape another one. And that one had Pat Neal and Jack Albertson and, oh, I can almost come up with it. Oh, Buckminster Fuller and somebody else. And they ran that as the first show. Then the next one aired, and several critics then reviewed the show, saying the show got off to a lame first start, but the second one was brilliant. And that was the one that we had wanted first all along.
Was it typical at the network?
That was gratifying in its own way.
I'm sure. Was it typical at the network to have fights about whether you should be exactly like everybody else or whether you should be able to do things a little bit different?
Yeah, and I think probably they were right and I was right too. In many cases, I'm sure I did things that were deadly dull as a result of my image, or having people on who I thought might be interesting to such a narrow group of because maybe I thought I ought to, of viewers and so on. But in general, I think it was probably the best talk show there's ever been on television. Certainly, I mean, in terms of its high points, and I don't care whether that's immodest or not, because when I look back at the Lunt Fontanne Coward show or the alcoholism shows or the Mailer Vidal Janet Flanner show or something, looking at them, believe me, I can. I'm that disengaged from my own personality on television. I can see them as a viewer. I wish something like that were on. I'd love to see it. No wonder people liked him. I didn't realize how good they were.
Are you the only talk show host in television who never interviewed Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Who hasn't interviewed her? I would think. Now, I don't dislike her. It's just that once I think somebody said Cavett has never had the Gabors on, he should get a medal for this. And I cravenly continued not to have them on to curry his favor. Fact is, almost everybody, I can't think of anybody I really would not, well, no, that's not true. I mean, but there's nothing wrong with having them on except for their overexposure, and I might, maybe should have because of one thing that I always find interesting about me. People are different with me, and I would have been interested to see how she was. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. I can't stand it when somebody comes on with me and thinks they have to be intellectual because of this misperception that I am. And so a hilarious man like Buddy Hackett might feel he has to come on and talk about Tolstoy. I love it, for example, when Bob Hope came on with me, who's always been one of my gods, of course, as a young comedian and so on, and actually talks. He's one of the most interesting, best, compelling raconteurs of his past and the great life he's led. And when it always seems to me on other shows, he'll go on and he'll talk and he has a lot of jokes and I laugh because he's Bob Hope. But I want to know, you know, what it was like when he was hungry and what would he do if he weren't in the business, which he mentioned on a show of mine and startled everybody. And other things about him that you don't often get at. So maybe Zsa Zsa, maybe I could have ripped the mask of hypocrisy from her face.
Dick Cavett recorded in 1985. Our program on late night TV continues with Conan O'Brien after a break. This is Fresh Air.